had discussed by deans of the college, the instruction on campus. Today, the program shown in the agenda is consists of a considerable amount of instruction off campus. As we pointed out, that the program is dealing with academic instruction, and that eventually or later there will be similar programs in research and also in statewide services. Now, today, the first presentation is on statewide services with the community colleges in other parts of the state. To introduce the program, present the program, is Vice President Breswell.
Members of the Board of Regents, ladies and gentlemen, good morning. Yesterday is kind of a tough act to follow with all this program presentation. But one thing I'd like to get straight right away is that statewide services is now a part of public service, and the total area, program area, is called public service. If that's confusing to you, well, it is to some of us too, but I'll try to explain a little of it this morning. The program says that this session is to be devoted to evening classes, correspondence study, summer sessions at community colleges. And it will be, because these are the academic instructional areas of the public service area, the program area of the university. But in order, before presenting this, I want to show you where this instructional area fits into the total program of public service. Public service program area is perhaps best defined by saying that our function is to take those great programs that you heard about yesterday and the practical results of research to the people of the state to make the educational programs and services available to the residents of the state who are unable to come here for resident academic programs. Dean Belke made a good case yesterday afternoon for the need in engineering fields for the university's program of continuing education, an area that you regents recognized, gave further recognition to last spring when you established continuing adult education and extension programs at the vice presidential level under the name of public service. Let me give you an idea of the scope of our programs by showing you the public service organization at the present time. We have four major areas. On the left is audiovisual and materials of instructional service. This is a supporting service to instruction, both the academic credit and the non-academic credit, as well as offering a statewide service through our film and tape libraries. We'll hear more of this later this morning in the area on supporting services. Cooperative Extension Service, under the direction of James Matthews as Assistant Director currently, is a program area that provides educational programs and services and many instructional programs to people throughout the state, but none of them carry academic credit, none of the programs. In fact, this is a requirement by law on our federal funds that we cannot use them to teach academic credit courses. Of course, this was to prevent the land-grant colleges in the early days to use this, from using this federal money for the teaching of classes where other money was not available in the local states. We'll be talking about these types of programs more in 1971 when we have a public service program there. Another large unit of our area is part of statewide services, we're calling it, under the director. This is the program area that Dr. Charles Lafferty will head after July 1st of this year. And you're familiar with many of these programs. The mining extension is primarily a short course program, a short course conducted throughout the state. These are, of course, instructional programs. The Extension Center in Arts and Crafts is Ron Smuggetuck's program here on campus. The Upward Bound program deals with the high school age students. And there's quite a variety of programs here. Many of them can be classified as instructional, but again, none of them carry academic credit toward a degree. We have classified or put the programs that offer university academic credit courses together under the Dean of Statewide Services. And we have the following general areas of evening classes, correspondence study, summer sessions, and the Southeastern Community Colleges in this classification. These are the ones we're going to spend most of our time on this morning. Now, when seeking a person to head this area, I went to the University of Maryland because they are the only state university and land-grant college that I know of that has a larger campus than the University of Alaska. And that is because they, through their university college, operate programs in Europe and Asia, Iceland, Greenland, with military services. So I think that gives them the largest campus of any state university or land-grant college. And Dr. Ralph Klein was assistant dean of University College at University of Maryland. 3 months ago, he came to the University of Alaska. We selected him because we felt that with the kind of worldwide program he was leading down there, he was a man who was big enough for Alaska. It's my privilege to present to you now Dr. Ralph Klein.
Thank you, Art. I'd like to discuss this program, although I'm somewhat of a neophyte, at least on the Alaska scene, so please bear with me. The first item I'd like to discuss is the summer sessions. There are approximately 711 students enrolled in the summer sessions, at least last summer. And the first summer sessions was held in 1947, primarily for the benefit of teachers in the territory of Alaska who wished to renew their teaching certificates or complete their baccalaureate degree programs. Although teachers and professional education course offerings still play a significant role in the summer sessions program, our student body has and will continue, as I see it, to be more cosmopolitan. Students come from nearly all of the states and provinces of Canada to come on campus in the summer. They are not only teachers, they are college students who wish to accelerate their regular academic program outside of the usual, not confines, but the limits of the usual semesters. There are at least high school students who wish to get, let's say, a head start on the regular semester. There are graduate students, and there are other professionals other than teachers who wish to develop their programs. Also, course offerings have and will continue to broaden as I see it. This will not only result from the broadening of our own regular faculty as it develops, but also from continued employment of visiting faculty who are experts in their fields coming up from the South and who have capabilities in addition to what we have during the regular semesters. Now, if the summer sessions have and will continue to be student-oriented, developed and designed for the student in mind, a second factor, especially here in Alaska, is, as I see it now, very important, and that is the retention of faculty members who teach during the regular semesters. Many of these regular faculty members depend on their summer session salaries to make a go of it financially. Unlike down south, there is less opportunity for them to obtain summer teaching jobs with other institutions. There are very few other institutions in Alaska. If opportunities indeed were available, the cost of their trip to the south would be hard on their pocketbook. All right, let's turn to evening credit classes. Where have we been offering these classes during the year? And this, I might point out, does not include the South Central regional area. This will give you some idea where we have offered these evening classes. At college itself, I won't go through all of these. Fort Wainwright, which has a large program. Eielson Air Force Base, really a small program. Clear, Bethel Nome, a very limited program. I hope it develops more in the future. Wrangell, Petersburg, and so on. There are about 781 course enrollments this past semester in our evening credit classes. Now, one of the main reasons, according to the National University Extension Association, incidentally, we are a member of that body, why adult continuing education is one of the greatest growth industries, quotation marks, in the United States today is because agencies such as our Division of Statewide Services are flexible enough to provide quality credit programs unfettered by time or space. Now, what does this mean? Let me draw upon history to explain. The 17th century witnessed the rise of the Dutch Empire. For a while, its navy was supreme. Indeed, it at one time brushed aside the British fleet and gaily sailed up the Thames River. But the Dutch were essentially merchants, and their mercantile marine sailed the seas of the world. And as a result, it was wryly said that a Dutch merchant captain would sail into the mouth of hell itself if there was a cargo to be had. Now, maybe I wouldn't go so far as to schedule courses in that warm place, or would I? Walking over this morning, but I have scheduled courses in northern Greenland, which met at 3 a.m. in the morning. There were 18 students there who wanted the given course. There were 18 students at 3 a.m. who were just finishing their shifts, so they were available. And also, just as important, we had a qualified instructor to teach this course and courses. Now, this is what I mean when I say we are unfettered by time or space. We are flexible in statewide services. We are not tied down by this course must start on January 1 and must end on June 1 or something like that. Our campus does not open at 8 a.m. in the morning and close at 5. Anytime. Another example to illustrate the flexibility of statewide services is recently it became apparent that a course was needed in southeastern Alaska concerning how to teach Tlingit children. Now, this is a geographical, a space sort of thing. A course like that would not be necessary, say, in Texas or Maryland or Greenland, but it certainly was appropriate for Caucasian teachers to know in southeastern Alaska how to reach these children, their mores, their ways of life, and so on. Along this line of flexibility, I was pleased, as I know Art was, as he expressed it, to hear Dean Belkey's remarks of yesterday. You remember that he emphasized the importance of continuing education for graduate engineers and other programs for those who wish to become engineers or technicians, but who are unable to attend on-campus classes during the usual hours. This is exactly one of the main reasons why the Division of Statewide Services exists. We have the flexibility to administer such programs. This is evidenced by the Juno Graduate Engineering Management Program, which we offer in cooperation with Dean Belkey in Juno. While we are flexible, we must maintain academic standards. And who are the best qualified to determine what these standards should be? I feel, and there is some opposition to this, they are, the persons best qualified are the academic department heads and academic deans on this campus. It is cumbersome. Streamlining has to be accomplished. I hope to get together, incidentally, Dr. Theophilus, with you on this in the future, how we can streamline this. To get a, for example, an instructor approved to teach, to get his contract to teach, maybe just one course, at least 6 signatures are required, 6 desks. I'd like to compute the velocity of these documents traveling snail-like across this campus. Well, maybe one of our regional directors, community college directors, is sweating it out down there. He's got this class, hopefully, scheduled, and he wants this man cleared and his contract signed. Well, this is one of the things maybe we can work on. But the principle is sound, I think. Academic responsibility remains with the academic department and the dean of the academic college. I want to make that point very clear. Let's turn to correspondence study, another hat that I wear. Green dots represent, within the state of Alaska, of course, where students are currently located who are taking our correspondence courses. There are actually, at the present moment, 242 individual students taking our correspondence courses. Some are taking more than one course. Not all of our students are located in Alaska. Interestingly enough, we have about 15 or 20 students in South Vietnam taking University of Alaska correspondence courses. Perhaps in the future, we might change the name of our correspondence office to the Division of Independent Study or the Division of Home Study. I foresee in my cloudy crystal ball, perhaps doing more than simply written correspondence courses. Perhaps this office could become the house, the umbrella for satellite television, radio study in the home. Also, with regard to correspondence courses, maybe more courses should be offered in the future as demand develops. Very briefly, and in conclusion, here's a couple ideas. I'm not sure about them yet. I'm still finding my way. And this is not unusual for an adult in continuing education. One, develop a curriculum or curricula, especially designed for adult students. Emphasis on credit by examination, to take into consideration the experience in formal study of the adult student. Another idea, this again is not unusual in universities in the United States, and I know Dr. Woods, another building, and that is a continuing adult education center where interested groups could meet on this campus, live in for maybe a few days, a couple of weeks, attend classes here, credit and non-credit seminars, be fed in the building. Many such schools as Notre Dame, University of Maryland have such centers, and they have been very beneficial, I believe. Now, with regard to the community colleges and I serve as the liaison for the Southeastern Community Colleges for the upper division and graduate courses, liaison between the directors and the campus here. And for some other remarks, I'd like to turn the program back over to Dr. Busman.
Thank you. Just a word about the associate degree programs in general. Associate degree programs are offered on the main campus and at community colleges. There are two basic types, the Associate of Arts with various majors and the technical associate degrees, such as the Associate of Electronics Technology offered here, and the new associate degree in Fisheries Technology. The Associate of Arts degree has its own integrity or may be used as a pre-baccalaureate degree. It has certain required general courses to give the student a general or a liberal education in a major area, such as liberal arts, office administration, science, or vocational arts. The technical associate degrees, such as the Fisheries Technology Program, are skill-oriented. Upon completion of the degree, a student is a highly qualified technician in a particular field. Just a word about the students that are involved in our programs. Students taking advantage of our continuing education credit classes may be much the same as the students here enrolled full-time on the main campus. But more often, they are older and more mature. They may be professional persons seeking more advanced education in their profession. They may be persons seeking to become qualified for a new area of employment. They may be housewives seeking to complete a degree, or they may be adults taking courses of general interest without consideration of a degree. I remember a man in Juneau who for a number of years enrolled in an art course we taught there. The first year he took it for credit, and he enrolled at least three more times as an audit student, paying fees and so forth. And because this was an interest course, it was a credit course, but he was interested in art, and rather than work at home, he liked to go down there to associate with others that were students in the class, and he could call upon the teacher occasionally for some help. And he enrolled at least four different times in this because of his interest. Community colleges serve all of these types of students and more. Here to tell you about our Southeastern Community Colleges is Mr. Fred Koshman, the resident director of Juneau Douglas Community College.
Art. Just before leaving Juneau, I phoned Louis Licari, the resident director at Sitka, and Carol Fader, the acting resident director down at Ketchikan, to get some recent information on what was going on in those two places. I imagine that looking at my notes, my presentation is going to be more on Juneau than on the other two places, because obviously I know more about that. I don't wish to give the impression that a lot more isn't perhaps going on in these other two places than I can give you this morning just from a few minutes telephone conversation. Louis Licari has been the resident director for a couple of years in Sitka. He said there are two things new over there. One is this year they have their own building. The school district has turned over to the community college a former small elementary school right near the business section. You know, Juneau, it's a white building just across the street from the Sitka Cold Storage. And this has given them a real boost in having their own place to hold classes, as well as being a place right near town, near to the ferry coming from Edgecombe, so that people can conveniently get there to take classes. The second new thing there is that they, this year, have a day office occupation program running in this new building. This was made possible by a grant for equipment from the Vocational Education Department of the State Department of Education, and also some help in students from BIA, and I think one or two students under MDT money. They, of course, do have regular evening program of credit and non-credit classes. At the moment, they have 41 students enrolled in credit classes, 169 students enrolled in non-credit interest and vocational classes. The Sitka School Board and Borough have given very good support to the program there, the building being made available by them. They also are paying for secretarial help and putting some other money into the program so that it is moving along. Ketchikan Carol Fader is the acting director for this year, while Jim Simpson, the regular director, is out on leave. I'm not sure when he's going to finish his PhD. At least he will be very close to it by the time the year is over. One of the big things in Ketchikan, of course, is that their new building is just about ready also. They, I understand, will be ready to move into it sometime in March, and will make the move gradually from their location in downtown Ketchikan. They are offering several new courses. One, which will start in 2 weeks, is a logging course. They've offered this once before, but with the Ketchikan Spruce Mills, with the Alaska Lumber and Pulp out of Sitka, needing loggers continuously, this is a course which will help a great deal in that area. They are also working on a course for marine oilers and wipers. Both of these are funded through MDT and the State Vocational Education Department. Carol said they planned a class in mental efficiency, especially for teachers this next semester, and that they had an approved teacher there in Juneau, or in Ketchikan, to teach the course. They, of course, have their regular evening classes and day classes, both credit and non-credit. Their academic courses this year, or first semester at least, included 115 people, and they had 111 people enrolled in non-credit courses. The two courses that I mentioned, of course, will add to this number. I should say that this mental efficiency class, of course, is one of these where the local director merely coordinates the program, and the course is given not by the community college, but by statewide services off the campus here. In Juneau, we have also a new program, a new building in the offing. Our building also will be ready approximately the middle of March. However, for various reasons, we will not move into it until during the summer, so that we will be ready to go in it in the fall. The new building is somewhat smaller than the space that we are now using in downtown Juneau. We have 5 classrooms plus a library and small office space in the new building. We're using 13 classrooms, rather large office space, library in the present building, and we're also running some classes down in the high school because we haven't had room for them in our present building. So we will not be able to move our whole program out to the new campus. New campus, I'm sure, as most of you know, is about 11 and a half miles out of town on the shores of Hawk Lake. It's going to be one of the most beautiful campuses in the world once it is completed. Some of you perhaps visited the Chapel by the Lake there in Juneau on Hawk Lake, which is, they say, the most photographed spot in the state, where you look across Hawk Lake and on towards Mendenhall Glacier and the mountains and the ice cap in the background. We will have that same view, and we think once, someday in the future, when more buildings are up and when the campus is landscaped, that it's going to be a most beautiful place. At the present time, we have 166 people taking credit courses and 423 people taking non-academic, non-credit courses, for a total of about 589 people. In the academic program, we are using 3 full-time teachers and a full-time librarian. And then in the non-credit program, we have a full-time director for the office occupations department. We also use 8 part-time credit teachers, 15 part-time non-credit teachers. So we have, are getting to have a rather large staff. We give full freshman and sophomore years of credit courses leading to an associate degree. present time, we have 34 full-time students in this program, along with the balance in, who are part-time. And this, I'm sure, is going to grow over the next few years. As I talk to parents around the community, they say, what are you going to have in 2 years or 3 years or whatever it might be? We just can't afford to send our students south anymore, and if they can get their first 2 years in Juneau, it's certainly going to help. I'm sure that we're going to have more and more full-time students during the next few years. One of the new things this year has been a full-time day office occupations curriculum. This, of course, is non-credit. We have gotten students sent to us by the BIA, some sent to us under MDT, and then, of course, a certain number that just come on their own. This has been quite successful. We, of course, run evening classes in office occupations at the same time. In non-credit interest courses, this is the area that's a lot of fun. We have courses all the way from cake decorating to computer concepts, just for people who have an interest or in liking computer concepts, is something that some of them need in their work more and more in the Juneau area. But when we give cake decorating or Christmas package wrapping and things like this, everybody has a lot of fun, and it is something that I think really helps us to become known in the community to a group of people who otherwise we wouldn't touch. I might go back just a moment to this business of the new building. It's probable that for a long time to come, and perhaps always, we will want to offer some classes in Juneau rather than out at the new campus 11 miles out. For instance, this business program, office occupations program. Many of the people, most of the people in this are people who live in Juneau who do not have their own transportation. And it's almost imperative that the classes be given there in Juneau. Same thing is true of basic education classes, training adults through their first 8 years of elementary school, high school equivalency courses, working with adults to get their high school certificates and so on. These courses, for a long time to come, we will want to have in town, and perhaps always. I think it's going to mean one of these days that Douglas is going to say, well, why can't we give this course or that course over there? And there are probably going to be other areas in the Juneau community where we will want to move courses. We have also this past month, by we, I mean my Juneau Douglas Community College Advisory Group, and myself, gone to the local school board asking for more financial support on a local level. We have asked for about $14,000 for the coming year. I'm not sure how much of this will eventually be approved, but we feel that the local people should be more and more supporting this program from an official standpoint, putting money from taxes into it. And we hope that we can expand our program, our non-credit program, in this way. We do, of course, offer several courses each semester, which we coordinate for the Division of Statewide Services here on campus. One of these, which has been mentioned a couple times so far in these meetings, is the engineering management courses. We have 18 or 20 people who a year from now will have completed their coursework for a master's degree in engineering management, and hopefully then will finish the rest of their work, which includes some writing, time to get their degrees a year from this spring. I'm not sure that I agree with Dr. Belke that this course will not be needed for a few years until we build up a backlog of persons interested. I have not made a survey, but I am going to, and I think there's a possibility that this is going to show that there would be another group of approximately that size ready to start in new on their master's a year from next fall. I hope this is true, because this is one of those areas in which we can help upgrade state employees. I'm not trying to say that our state has a lot of incompetence working for them, but as in every area, there is a need to continuously keep up and to train people to better fill the jobs that they have to do. And particularly in Juneau, this is something I think that's very important. I think not only from point of view of helping these people and helping the state get better qualified people, but from a political standpoint, that it's very important that we do this work in Juneau and show that we have an interest in them and that we want to help the state. Then we are hoping that the School of Business, Economics, and Government will have ready for us a master's program in public administration as soon as possible. This is another one of those areas where I'm sure we can give a lot of help to the state employees and to upgrading the total state employment force. This is one that I'm sure we could give year after year after year and have people ready to take it. I'm working with the Juneau Personnel Association at the present time, which includes the personnel people from both the state and federal offices. They are making a survey, and the results of this will be available, I hope, within about the next month, and will show just how much need there would be at the present time for such a course. I certainly hope that it can be started very soon. Right at the present time, we do have at least one PhD in Juneau in the field of public administration, Dr. Stark, in the governor's office, who is interested in teaching. And this would help a great deal because at the present time, of course, for the engineering management course, we are flying teachers down from here and from Anchorage to do the teaching. Another area in which we hope to be active very soon is police administration associate degree program. We have a great many law enforcement agencies in Juneau, connected with Fish and Game, connected with the State Patrol, the local police, and so on. And I'm sure here again that we could have an ongoing program in this area, which would be of great help to the community, to the state. At the moment, I have do not have enough money in my budget to cover giving these courses, but at least by next fall, we expect to start some of them, and then we hope to be able to continue. Qualified instructors would be available in the Juneau area, of course, for these police administration courses too. This year, we are also coordinating audiovisual courses, short courses in Haines and Skagway, and Louis Licari will work with courses in Wrangell and Petersburg in the same area. Jane Williams from the audiovisual department here at campus will come down to teach the course in Haines and Skagway, and one of the men connected with the Southeast Alaska Instructional Media Lab will teach the ones in Wrangell and Petersburg. It was mentioned a while ago that while our students are somewhat the same as those on campus, that they, in a great many cases, are older. I've been very interested to watch, for instance, a number of the young married women in Juneau who have gotten in to take a course now and a course then, and have finished up associate degrees, and now are interested in working out ways that they can go ahead and finish their bachelor's degrees. We hope sometime in the next few years that we can give more courses in the field of education to complete the training of a number of the women in our area who could teach. They have one or two more courses and their practice teaching. I think this is another place where we can help the local school district a great deal, because these women are mostly permanent residents and would make good teachers and permanent teachers. As we look ahead for the next few years, I'm sure there's no doubt that what our program is going to grow. As I said before, people are more and more showing an interest in having their children, and the children are getting more and more interested in attending the community college there in Juneau. I'm sure the same thing is true in Ketchikan and Sitka for the first 2 years. wasn't too many months ago, and to a certain extent, even up to the present time, that the local young people graduating from high school look at us and sort of get the idea this is just a half program, just a not complete college setup, and they haven't been interested in coming. More and more they are coming to us and asking questions, and we of course do make an opportunity to get to the high school students every chance we can. And then in the vocational fields, I'm sure that we need to do more and more. This is one reason we've gone to the local district for more money and support for these areas. Not very much has been done in Juneau vocation-wise, except in this field of office occupations. There are a number of other areas where more should be being done. We hope that this also will be possible in the next couple of years. I think the three community colleges in Southeast are rendering a real service to that area, and I'm sure that this is going to be a growing service over the next years.
Some of the additional proposed changes for the future are organizational, and some are programs, such as those that you heard of yesterday. We're going to try to offer regional services to smaller communities, such as Petersburg and Randall. Sometime in the future, we expect to recommend the Southeastern Regional Center for the Provost located in that area. We are studying the best ways to better serve the needs of Northwestern Alaska and to provide community college-type services to this area and to the Fairbanks area. While the university serves many of the needs of the Fairbanks community, there are problems in fully serving the needs of the local area through a resident staff oriented toward baccalaureate and higher degrees and research. Program ideas include credit seminars in a number of communities using a series of lecturers from the campus, internships such as the Witchy sponsored internships in economic development, associate degree programs in new technical areas, and an extension of new programs developed in the colleges or regional centers to the more remote areas or to people who cannot attend classes on a normal semester basis. In my slide, this concludes our presentation. We can either entertain questions or as you wish.
Now, certainly, if members of the board, any questions, now would be a good time to.
I'd like to ask a question. What you just spoke on, Dr. Fledwell, I appreciate if you could expand a little bit more, including a timetable on getting into areas like Petersburg, where you're not going to have a full-fledged community college, but it's obvious it needs to be the kind of service that you found successful in other localities. Secondly, I'd like to have a little more idea, if you've got any, is what you're going to do in the Fairbanks area, because I'm convinced that the same principle of flexibility that you were mentioning is just as necessary in Fairbanks, and I think that while our timing was right, or our sequence was right, and starting in the other areas, we would be falling behind if we don't do the same thing right here in Fairbanks, and just because you have a college here doesn't mean that you're going to be giving the same kind of service.
Yes, sir. In the smaller, more isolated communities, I didn't mean to infer that we are not now offering some services there. We have had courses in Petersburg and Wrangell and Home and Bethel, some of these places on an occasional basis for a number of years. Last year we had two in Petersburg. As far as the timetable for offering more services to these communities, in October you entertained a request for a community college at Petersburg, but rather moved to establish on a more formal basis programs in these areas tied in with other community colleges on a regional basis. And we are moving ahead with this, both in terms of establishing contact. We have a man in Petersburg who's in the school district, who has been assigned by them to work directly with us on programs for the spring semester. We have in our budget request funds for next year to be able to appoint a person who's in the school district and who is agreeable to them and to us as a part-time resident representative of the University of Alaska in that community to work more directly with the community college directors in Southeastern, primarily at Sitka, but also the other areas, and with Dr. Klein here to be able to Gordon made him offer more credit classes, and through the director and directors and through me for the non-academic credit programs that come from this campus. But this one in the southeastern area is timetable is set up to continue almost immediately next year by actually having an agent in Petersburg and possibly also in Rankin. And we have worked with the directors so that, for instance, service to places such as Haines and Skagway are coordinated in southeastern Alaska by Mr. Koshman at this time. And he occasionally goes up there and meets with people to see just what they do need. And the same thing in Ketchikan, going over to places like Puna and over to Net Island, so forth. In the Nome and Northwestern area, we've offered some courses. We have requests for consideration in Community College in Nome. We discussed this with Mrs. Bullock, and I'm going to go to Nome again before too long to discuss it with people out there. And we get varying reactions to the need for it in that kind of community. But certainly there is a need for more programs of the university in these areas. And the timetable here is probably a little further away in terms of actually having funds to employ persons in the area. But the time is immediate in making plans for the following year and also having some courses there. Primary courses we've offered in Nome for academic credit have been for teachers. We get a mixed reaction to this. Some of the school board members out there have indicated that they do not wish to have us offer too many courses for teachers in Nome because they are too isolated as it is. We like to have them to get out either to this campus or to Anchorage or to outside of Alaska in the summer to associate with other teachers and be exposed to other experiences. So we have the teachers asking for it so they don't have to leave Nome, especially in the case of families and parents. Others and the school board saying some of this is fine, but let's not go too far. In terms of the Fairbanks community, there may be a very real need for an actual Fairbanks Community College. We offered more courses of a general nature in this area until about 1963, may have been 62, 63, right in around there. When the school district here expanded their offerings and went into an adult education and continuing education program for the residents of the community. Previous to that time, we had offered credit classes and some vocational and interest classes using high school facilities. When they instituted their own program of this type, we withdrew, and another item at the time, we started charging us rent for classrooms. We withdrew to the campus and what was then Light Air Force Base, Fort Wainwright, and Wilson Air Force Base. Since then, we have offered some classes back in the schools, but the area that I speak of that I think is lacking has to do with some of those other services that community colleges offer in where they are established, where they are geared directly to working with the adult, the person who is beyond the high school age, such things as completing the high school requirements. A person who is 20 years old dropped out of high school after their second year and now wants to complete. They can do this in Anchorage, they can go back to Ketchikan and Juneau, where the counseling facilities are established. People are here to try to help these people complete the requirements so that they can take pass the state examination and get a high school equivalency and thus go on to other programs. The community college is geared to this type of need, whereas the university and its degree-oriented programs is not. And whereas the public school has said they've gone beyond the time unless they want to come back into our program, or perhaps they're too old and we don't want them back, so they're not as interested there. This is one place. Then two, on this campus, we require a person to come into an associate degree program to be 21 years old. In our community colleges, a person 19 years of age can come into university academic credit programs at the associate degree level as high school graduates. Or if they're over, let's say, what is it, 21, they can come in a special students, well, they can do that here too. But there are certain things here. Now, we have just started recently discussion with the people in the school district to see their reaction to how the university and the school district might see the needs here and how we might better serve them. And we thought we would tie this into the study of how we serve the more remote areas, because in many cases, these people from more remote areas may have to come in here. Now, in Anchorage, as you know, the Anchorage Community College offers many vocational, technical, and basic education courses for adults that do not live in the Anchorage area. People come in supported by MDTA programs, by vocational rehabilitation, by the Bureau of Indian Affairs, or on their own, and find their own places to live in the community. They find their own places to eat, and the community college is engaged in providing the educational opportunity and experience for these people. We're doing this in a number of areas, so that residents of the greater Anchorage area, plus other people, can come in and take advantage of these. This is not available in many cases here in Fairbanks, and it should be. That is, there aren't as many of these kinds of programs. We had an experience 2 years ago when, well, let's say 3 years ago, Dean Kine got quite interested in offering the Associate of Arts and Liberal Arts, feeling that the Fairbanks community should have a greater opportunity for service. And students who could not go into Anchorage, did not have a place to live there, come here, live in the dormitory, and take the Liberal Arts, Associate Degree in Liberal Arts program. This was fine. He had trouble finding courses in other colleges at the associate degree level, 50 to 99. So he was encouraging the deans to come up with a math course, and a sociology course, and so forth in these areas. Some of them were instituted. But a year, 2 years later, when our budget came back from Juneau, and he was restricted in enlarging his staff and the requirements for English for all entering freshmen, and some of these other demands were such that he had to make a decision. He said, and I'm sure he would repeat this again, that he said, well, I have to make a decision between our baccalaureate graduate programs and this associate degree program. I'm going to cut back first on the associate degree program. And this is no discredit to him. In an institution of this kind oriented toward the baccalaureate and graduate degrees in research, this is to be expected. Whereas the community college is oriented toward meeting this specific need. I have no timetable to offer it as to when we might go into something like this, except to say that before your meeting next spring, May, I hope that we have some positive recommendations to make for consideration on time, which will be included in the budget request for next year. In the meantime, Dean Fine, Dr. Lafferty, and I are going to be working on this, and undoubtedly we'll get something started before then that we can do with the present staff.
Any other questions?
Go ahead,
This is perhaps not a proper question, actually, but I see a growing demand in the villages and the outlying areas for management abilities, which is completely lacking. This goes into storekeepers, where they have their cooperative stores, and fisheries co-ops, and so forth. There's been some pretty sad experiences because of the complete lack of understanding of management. Has there been any thought at all about bringing some of these people together and giving some sort of, this would have absolutely no connection with university credits or anything of this kind, but it is a very good
Yes, there has been, Mrs. Bullock. There's been quite a bit of thought given to it. We went so far at one time as to hire a person in the field of management in the Cooperative Extension Service, and we worked in the outlying areas, initially primarily with the reindeer people, and had meetings in Nome and in Kotzebue with them, and worked with them on record keeping, basic management, also with some of the co-ops in the villages. This was Matt. Unfortunately, he left and went back to Minnesota. We still have a position in our cooperative extension service budget, and we're trying to fill it again. This is one of the prime reasons for looking for a person in this area, a person who could both serve management, agriculture, and in small businesses in rural areas, remote areas. And so we are concerned about this, and we may be able to get some help from the College of Business Economics and Government also.
Does the BIA or other state or government agencies have any educational funds that can be used by the university for the Northwestern area?
This has to be done primarily on a project basis, as I understand it. We had the program that has been in Girls College for about 3 years, which served that area, but the people came in here. This 9-month program we spoke of yesterday, we have a $30,000 annual grant from the BIA to the Cooperative Extension Service for agents located in the Kuskokwim area between Antioch and Stony River. It's a pilot program serving about 15 villages with the agents, man and woman, living right in one of the villages. And this has all been on an individual contract basis. And we've asked for funds for some other things, and they haven't been able to grant them. But there's always the possibility of going back and asking for more. There are also possibilities under the Title I of the Higher Education Act, which is involved in community development. We do have some proposals for that for funding that's available this year. One of the problems there is that this requires matching money. It was 50%, but fortunately they started out as 25% state money needed to match, and it went to 50%, but now they have compromised on the amendment. Now it's 33 and 30%. We come up with 1/3 of the money for the total project. We can get 2/3 federal money into this program, and these can be designed for programs that we are considering in this next week to be approved under this program are almost entirely for Northwestern Alaska.
Gerard, your crafts program, I understand, I'm talking largely for people from that area to do it.
Yes, because here again, the scholarships are from the BIA through the Indian Arts and Crafts Board, or from the Alaska Council on the Arts for Vocational Rehabilitation, but primarily they've been assigned to Native people.
I have two questions that grow out of Dr. Klein's presentation. One, I want to take this in a couple of minutes to expand a little bit on your ideas about the summer sessions, what you hope to be able to do with our summer session on campus and around the state in this 10-year look ahead. And the other that is, I've been quite interested for a long time in this notion of a special type of program for the young, for adults who lack a year or a semester, maybe even 2 years from getting a college degree, and the notion of credit by examination. If this, if you have in mind, you're really gelling this and getting on with it. We've talked about it for several years. Also, the notion of the winter semester, one beginning about right after Thanksgiving, say, and ending sometime mid-March, which kind of dovetails with some of the work schedules in this area. These two sort of tie together, kind of an over 30.
I think it is much more applicable to our situation.
I don't know what you're gonna say.
We are very, and more distinguished Alaskans teaching our summer sessions. They don't have to have master's degrees. I'm thinking of President Johnson, not coming up here to Alaska, but he's going to be teaching down in Texas. And thinking of Hubert Humphreys, who's going to be teaching in Minnesota. I'm also thinking of Ernest Greeley as a senior statesman teaching a course in recent Alaskan history during the summer sessions, especially during our workshop on Alaska, as an example. Not politically, but as a man with a great deal of experience and has seen this sort of thing and who could share them with our summer session students. I'd like to be more specific here, but not included on other projects, but I still don't find it my way.
Are there any other questions? Not, and thank you, Art.
You know, a program that is well planned always has to have a number two plan, and so I think now it's time to put the number two plan into action. At this time, with your permission, we will take the coffee break, and immediately after this, we will have the presentation of materials of instructional services. After that, we'll tell you which one will come. We'll go right on through. Presentation, materials of instructional services. To put this presentation together, Mr. Smith, who is the acting director of the university libraries, chaired a committee, Mrs. Williams of audiovisual, and Mr. Rowinski, director of the museum. These three have worked as a committee, and Mr. Smith will carry the program on from here. Bill?
Thank you. The first part of our presentation will be a videotape, which we have been working on. First, I'd like to introduce Mrs. Williams, head of the Department of Audiovisual under the Vice President for Statewide Services, and Mr. Lou Rowinski, Director of the Museum. Roll. Yes, the audience, they can move over to see the screen.
The Department of Audiovisual Communications, Division of Statewide Services, is located on the first floor of Lyleson Building. Among the many functions of this department is the statewide distribution of some 1,000 educational films to our community colleges, schools, private groups, and individuals. Among its listings, besides educational films under every category, there are films sponsored by the Alaska Council of the Arts, Ford Motor Company, Bell Telephone Company, Atlantic Richfield Oil Company, Pan American Airways, and many government agencies such as NASA. We book, clean, inspect, and catalog our films. Need for excellent educational film in Alaska far exceeds the demand. Every little village at this point is equipped with projection equipment and can and does use our services. We also have a tape library and offer the service of tape reproduction with our It is possible that a whole new generation of students will begin to carry tape recorders to classes to accompany their note-taking. It is even possible that professors may have master tapes of their lectures made, and a traffic in tapes would ensue, even as now there is a traffic in textbooks. Services we would like to offer because the demand is increasing there here is the quick reproduction of slides and transparencies. For lack of funds to hire a graphic and photo technician, we have photographic equipment idle, or at best, not used to advantage. We have many requests each week for photo and graphic services. The Department of Audiovisual Communications maintains a well-equipped repair section with a full-time equipment technician. All the projection equipment on campus is regularly checked and repaired. At the call of the professor, the equipment is put in the lecture room and a projectionist is supplied if needed. Let us now go to room 109. The Secretary of the Department of Audiovisual Communications has already this year requested over 400 films on preview for professors who need a particular film for a particular subject. She will take a work order for any of our films or any of our services and will see that all is ready for the professor when he needs it. She makes constant and diligent searches for various types of film which the professor must have. Films are being constantly previewed by students and professors. We encourage and insist that professors know what is on the film they are to show to their students. Students who miss their classes because of illness often ask to see the film they missed. Film is not an adjunct to the lesson, as it might have once been. It is often now the lesson. A student can come here to the audiovisual department to use materials for an interesting, palatable report. Students are learning that information presented visually means economical learning. And now to take you to Jade Williams, head of the Department of Audiovisual Communications.
Now you have a sort of an idea of what we do here. Actually, we are a support and service function for the staff, the academic personnel, the students in the university, and throughout the state. Our first concern is that we back up the professors with curriculum materials and equipment. This could be in the form of slides, tapes, overhead projectors, records, all manner of film, and some 15 different types of projection equipment. Our film library is quietly, sometimes, educating people in all walks of life throughout the state of Alaska. When most of you were in the university, there was no such department as Educational Resources, Audiovisual Department, sometimes called educational media. The fact is, these departments just sort of growed like Topsy. They sprung up, so to speak, because the need was there. The media that we have here, from equipment, that's the hardware, to materials such as film and tape